tell you about an interview that we're going to do in hour number two here, because I think it's fascinating and I think it's something that you want to hear about. It's a U.S. company producing U.S. produce only. Producing and distributing U.S. produce only in a fight to stem imported produce. When we talk about supply chains and so forth, it should have come into clear relief that we have an issue getting a lot of things from countries around the world. Well, what if it's your food? I mean, if you go to the grocery store, the supermarket now, and you look at your produce, your apples from New Zealand, your peppers from Chile, your tomatoes from Mexico, whatever it may be. Avocados, big hit from Mexico, too. But coming up, the founder of Patriot Foods is going to join us. And he says that what separates his company from others is that it's a U.S.-only brand. A U.S.-only brand. And they deliver. I want you to hear about this. It's coming up on hour number two. It's fascinating, working with the American farmer. And every package with our Patriot Food label results in a direct donation to a military member family in need. It's a great story. It's coming up on hour number two. I don't want you to miss that, so I wanted to point that out to you. As we work toward a vaccine, I don't know if we'll have a miracle vaccine by the time we get to November, but some say it's possible. Some are actually urging to go ahead with vaccines now, even though they're not proven. I think that's premature. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's not give a vaccine that has not been proven safe and effective. But as we're into stage three of a lot of this trial effort for vaccines, we're not that far away. And Stephen Hahn, the director of the FDA, who's been on this program a number of times, now says they're on a path to establish a vaccine as soon as safely possible. What does that mean? Well, here's what he has to say about it. It's bite number three. Go.
I want to be really clear about this, and thank you for the question. FDA has amazing scientists and experts, world-class with respect to vaccine and other assessments of medical products. We will make that decision based upon the science and the data from the clinical trials that are going. Now, these clinical trials have moved forward at record speed. That's really good news. But we will use those data to make the determination. It's why we came out with guidance in late June. We wanted to be clear. What are the data that we're going to need to see to make a determination, call the balls and strikes around safety and efficacy? That is our solemn pledge to the American people. And I think it's worth saying over and over again that the science and data are really going to guide this decision and nothing else.
And like I said, being in phase three of clinical trials is an important step, a critical step. And who would have believed we would have been this far down the road when we started in late January? We're doing this at breakneck speed. Operation Warp Speed is really, really making it happen. And, of course, a vaccine breakthrough before the election would be a game changer. So with John Durham getting off his duff and finishing the investigation and filing criminal charges, that would be a game changer as well. That would be a game changer as well. The president also focused on the vaccine, how we get there, how we protect people. Bite number four from the president talking about this yesterday. Bite four about vaccines. Here's the president.
We continue to make the extraordinary progress that we've been talking about together on vaccines and treatments under Operation Warp Speed, which is very exciting, most exciting. Last week, we distributed 2,979 cases of remdesivir, which is proving to be extremely powerful and good, enough to treat more than 19,000 patients, had great results. This includes 500 cases for Florida, 500 for Texas, 300 for California, 200 for Ohio, and 150 for Arizona and Georgia. And those numbers will be going up rapidly as we move along.
So there you go. We continue to battle the virus. And I guess like Seton Motley just said, how do we hold politicians responsible for a virus? And again, if you think what the president has done is a hash, it's a mess, it's a disaster, what would you have done differently? Would you have mandated lockdowns from the federal level? Would you have ordered the whole country locked down? Would you have done that? Would that have made a difference? There's no evidence to suggest that it would have made much of a difference. Would you have ordered mask wearing nationwide? Again, look to Europe. There's no evidence that it would have made much difference. Would you have done what the Chinese did? You could have welded doors shut. Sure, could have done that. Anyhow, so I asked that question in all seriousness. What would you have done differently? And there, I'm sure, are some serious answers to that question. But in real time, in the moving, the real time of a moving pandemic, easy to judge. Easy to judge. By the way, Mayor de Blasio compares New York City to Bangladesh yesterday because it was raining because a tropical storm came through and brushed New York, which has happened literally hundreds of times before. But here's what he had to say about it. It's bite number five. I want you to enjoy how New York City is like Bangladesh. Bite five. Go.
Now, let's talk about the bigger reality. What we're seeing here and what we've been seeing now for years is the result of global warming. We've been seeing more and more pressure on coastal areas all around the world. Some of you may have been following the horrible flooding in Bangladesh right now. We have a big Bangladeshi community here in this city. We're seeing problems in cities all over the world because of global warming. This is not an abstraction.
So it's global warming. We're like Bangladesh in New York now. You know, you wonder about the worst mayor in America, maybe the worst mayor in American history, how he struggles. Why does anybody even cover his press conferences anymore? Are they hoping that he says something completely ridiculous? Well, congratulations, he did. Let's see here. We've come up toward the back end of hour number one here, which means sports is on the way. And then, like I said, that great story coming up in hour number two about U.S. produce only, supporting American farmers. You don't want to miss it. Sit tight. You're in the No Panic Zone on the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be right back.
Helping those who need it most while building a better future. That's what Michiganders do. And it's what DTE is doing today. Giving 2 million masks to frontline workers and 600,000 to small businesses. Providing tablets and internet access so 51,000 school children can learn at home. And helping over 500,000 families across the state with food and shelter. Because for Michigan, we're always all in. DTE. DTE is taking big steps today that will power Michigan's economy for years to come. As one of the largest investors in the state, we'll spend $2 billion with Michigan companies this year alone, building critical infrastructure to provide cleaner, safer, and more reliable energy while creating thousands of new jobs across the state, improving the lives of Michiganders today while continuing to build a stronger tomorrow. DTE.